Welcome to the Business Growth Podcast with me, Kevin Miller. On this podcast, you're going to hear some awesome interviews from business leaders, experts, and entrepreneurs as they share their story, their journey, and some expert tips and insight of the things they've learned along the way. So sit back, enjoy, learn, and grow. And thanks for joining me. I'm joined in the studio with Iris Smith. Iris is from The Quick Flick and The Beauty Fridge. Fantastic concept, fantastic business story, and very successful WA entrepreneur. Good morning, Iris.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
How's your morning been?
Busy.
Busy, yes. Busy lady, busy entrepreneur, hey?
Yes.
So, I mean, look, tell us about yourself and your story, Iris. If people aren't familiar with you, tell us from the beginning. Let's start from the beginning.
Okay, I'm going to have to make it short. Otherwise, we'll be on air all day. Yeah, so I think that was a pretty good introduction. So I started my first business in 2017, which was called The Quick Flick, or is called The Quick Flick. And it started with a single product that was born out of my frustration with applying winged eyeliner. If you don't know what winged eyeliner is, it's, which, yeah,
I was wondering about it.
I'm not sure if you would know, Kevin, but who knows? Yeah, it's a decade-old makeup look where you draw a flick on the corner of your eye and it elongates your eyes. I was actually studying interior architecture at the time.
Oh, wow.
So I had a little bit of a design background and had this pain point, so I kind of merged my two skills together to create this one product. My brand now kind of focuses on revolutionizing makeup products, making them easier for women and men to use, and also combining multiple products into one product because brands love to sell us lots of stuff that we don't need. Yeah. And we just kind of believe in making makeup easy and simple. Beauty Fridge was then born last year. It's done exceptionally well considering it's only 12 months old. And that was born from living in Australia. A lot of our skincare products have a short shelf life, especially in the hot climate in Australia.
Okay. Yep.
So Beauty Fridge is a small, it's literally a fridge, but it cools to the correct temperature for the storage of skincare cosmetic products. And yeah, that's grown exceptionally fast. We've actually just launched into farmers in New Zealand. We're in multiple retailers in Australia as well. And QuickFlix also just launched into Superdrug. So it's exciting that we're going a little bit more international now rather than just Australia.
Yeah, so the business is going from strength to strength then.
Mm.
And in the early days then, so starting off with the idea, the concept, you obviously identified that there was a necessity for it or a need for it.
Yes.
And a market, because you were in that market, you were sort of, as you know, as a female, you were using similar products, but it wasn't doing what you necessarily required. So
yes.
Did you finish the architecture degree or did you?
Yes, yeah. I did. Yeah, so I was actually in my final year when I was doing it. So I had about 6 months left. And I think I finished it because I was really passionate about what I was doing in my thesis at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I did like a whole study on the female experience in gym spaces kind of looking at how the gym could be better designed to accommodate for women.
Because a few people get intimidated. Women get intimidated.
Yeah, it's a very masculine space, and you'll find most women will do, you know, classes and cardio-based exercises, which I thought was really interesting. So I kind of looked at the gym space and the greater community of fitness and how that all influenced. So I did finish that, which I was glad I did because, yeah, I did enjoy the topic. And obviously I learned some really good skills that I could transfer into my business as well. I think doing architecture really toughens you up because, the lecturers can be quite brutal and love to speak their mind, which is very much the same in the business sector.
Yeah, well, I get so. It might teach you a little bit of rejection or a little bit of the harshness of business probably.
Yeah, definitely, and not taking things, you know, personal and understanding that everyone has their own opinion.
Hmm.
And their own perspective. So,
were you the type of person that always you talk about entrepreneurs that are innovators, for instance, you know, and innovation is a sort of trait of an entrepreneur as such. But and I'm sure you class yourself as an entrepreneur. But do you were you the type of person prior to even having that concept? Were you the type of person that would have other ideas? Did you have other concepts and other things that you thought about previous to the Quick Flick?
Yeah, as in from a business point of view?
Yeah, from a business point of view, even just a concept or an idea, like a product or...
Probably to answer that question, I think what you're maybe trying to ask is, do I look at situations from a different point of view? Is that kind of what you mean?
Yeah, kind of.
I definitely have see. I definitely see myself as always being a challenger. Mm-hmm. It's gotten me into a lot of trouble with people in the past, like growing up and also, yeah, going to uni. I always would challenge things. You know, if you show me one way to do something, I'm like, I want to know, is there other ways to do it? Could it be done better?
Challenge the status quo a little bit.
Or it's just, it's ingrained in me. And to be honest, I think a lot of it comes from my upbringing. So I'm not sure if you know much about my upbringing, but I had a very abusive upbringing. I was emotionally, physically abused up until the age of 17 when I left home.
Right,
okay. So I've always been about fighting for, you know, what's right and doing things differently.
Yep.
So that's definitely led into my business, I think. You know, I'm always like, well, could it be done better, or could we do it in a way that makes it easier for people, that improves their quality of life?
Awesome.
So to answer that question, yes. And it's gotten me into trouble.
Well, it's a bigger picture mentality sometimes, or it's the why or the if, you know, how and why. It's the asking the question. And yeah, we actually spoke off air and you actually asked something similar when we were talking about painting it. You asked the question about how are they going to do it? You know, so that shows that you're constantly thinking those things. So
yeah.
So you go with the idea, you get the idea, you get the quick flick, you come up with the concept, but to have the, I'm not going to say the word on, to have the kahunas, to actually go and do something with the idea, that's not, you know, lots of people have ideas, lots of people have great ideas, but not everybody necessarily takes it forward and does something with it. So you just said you like a challenge, you challenge things. Did you have any doubt at that point? Did you sort of go, what the hell, I'm going to give it a shot? Or what was your mentality?
No, I think I agree with what you say. A lot of people have great ideas, but where they fall short is they care too much about what other people think. And yeah, when we start to care too much about other people's opinions, or we think, oh, you know, what are they going to think if I start this? Or what are they going to think if I have a career change? That is the biggest killer of all dreams. Yeah. So I think for me, it's a hard question to ask because I feel like I've been born with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't really care too much about, you know, what other people think of me. Yep. If you don't like me, then you're probably not the right person that's aligned with me.
Yep.
I think that's the issue, is so many people are walking around with masks on, and all these masks are just to please other people.
Mm-hmm.
We're not actually doing what we want to do in our lives, or starting that business that we want to start. And then we get to a point where we think, oh, why am I so unhappy? Why do I hate my job so much? Why am I so, you know, feel so unfulfilled? It's because we're constantly living our lives the way we think other people want us to live them.
Mm-hmm. And rather not how you want it yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, rather than doing, you know, what really lights you up. And I think I was lucky to find that. You know, I found being in business is something that really lights me up. But I definitely think if I cared too much about what people thought, I probably would have ended up, you know, working at an architecture firm because on paper it was the right thing to do. So many people said to me, oh, you're going to throw away a 4-year, you know, interior architecture degree to start selling eyeliner? People thought I was, you know, crazy. And it does sound mad, you know, you rack up a massive debt with a, you know, degree, you got no business experience.
Yeah.
You don't, your parents don't have a business background.
Yeah.
How the hell do you think you're going to sell, you know, eyeliner and actually call that a career?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the key message in there is do what's right for you. Don't do what, you know, might seem right for somebody else.
Yeah, and as you said, you believe you had that ingrained in you. You had that mindset, that manner, I guess, or character trait to actually go and do something about it. And
yeah,
I think it's difficult for some people to necessarily. I think it's difficult to train that. You know, it's a difficult. Yeah, some people have it or they don't, and it's very difficult to actually get someone and instill those things in them. You know, unless it's when they're kids, like really early, and they're around it. But some people are just born that way, and it sounds like you obviously are. So, I mean, but how does it go from the concept then? So let's start off with the idea, and then what's the next step? Talk us through the next step from having the idea and what happens. Where does it go?
Yeah, in my scenario, I obviously had the idea, and then I started looking for manufacturers that could actually bring the idea to light. And people often say, how did you find a manufacturer? I'm like, it's really easy. You go onto Google and you type in, you know, say if you want to bring out a tanning product, you type, you know, tanning manufacturers Australia or tanning manufacturers America. So the first phase was actually, how do I bring this product to life? And can I do it within my budget as well? Because obviously at the time I was a uni student and I didn't have, you know, a large amount of money to play with. So it's all about being resourceful as well, and working with what you've got. And it's something that I have I strive to not lose, because you can get to a point where you do have more money and can be very easy to lose that.
To be wasteful.
Yeah, so it's something I do kind of try to instill in my team is how can we be resourceful and work with what we've got.
Yeah.
So yeah, the next step was very much the manufacturing side, and then obviously I knew I wanted it to be an e-commerce business, so I jumped onto Google again.
You'll be amazed
what you can find on Google, and searched for, you know, how to build a website. I actually did have some previous website experience. I used to like code websites when I was 14. I don't know, a bit of a nerd in that sense.
Yeah,
I just built it all myself, like on Shopify over a 2-week period. Yeah, well, it's amazing what you can do when you kind of have a goal.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people say, oh, you know, well, I don't have, you know, all this money to invest, or I don't have the time. There are so many resources and, you know, education pieces out there that if you do want to do something, it's all just about looking in the right areas.
And it's available at your fingertips. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I created my own website, essentially, which was actually quite easy to do. Yeah, I think we were saying off air, a lot of people think you got to pour heaps of money into a website. But again, it's all about being resourceful. And yeah, pretty much from building the website, I then obviously placed my first order with the manufacturer. It was like 800 units or something, which at the time was like my life savings when I bought it.
Massive risks though, you know, massive risk.
It is, like, yeah.
You know, it takes a lot of gut to do it, you know, like to go and actually go and do those things.
Yeah,
you know?
And I think
make it sound easy is why I'm saying it. You know, it's not as simple. It isn't as simple as that. You know,
but I think also, like, I did really believe in my product. Like, I believed that it worked, and I did believe it was a better solution to traditional, you know, eyeliner pens that were on the market at the time. So yeah, I placed like an 800 unit purchase order, did some photos, and launched the website. And when I launched, like, I hadn't actually told anyone I was working on this.
Oh wow, so it was a secret.
Yeah, it was just a little bit of a secret. I've always been in like that a little bit, like I just kind of work on something in the background and then I'm like, surprise. So yeah, I launched it and everyone was like, when did you do this? And
why do you think you keep it? Is it for the excitement?
Because I don't want people to get in my head.
Good answer. Yeah, you don't want people to sort of put you off or get you off track.
I mean now I'm pretty good at, you know, if someone tries to, you know, talk into my head and maybe deter me from doing something, I'm pretty good at saying, yeah, whatever. I'm quite true to who I am now and what I believe.
And self-assured as well.
But I think at the time I was kind of in a state where I did let people's, you know, opinions and thoughts maybe influence me a little bit. So I'd rather kept quiet about it. So yeah, I launched it, and I mean, it didn't take off, you know, overnight. Like a lot of the articles online say, oh, you know, success overnight.
Instant,
and
yeah.
It really wasn't. There was a lot of hard work that went into it, and learning the ropes as I went, and putting myself out there, and contacting influencers, and yeah, doing all of the things that, you know, are involved in getting a business off the ground. But it did really kind of take off probably 5 months later, where I had a writer from Daily Mail found me on Instagram.
Yeah, cool.
They wrote like an article about me, and that kind of had a lot of eyeballs onto my page and onto the website. And then from that, a producer from Shark Tank found me.
Yes.
So that was kind of a little bit of a domino effect from that one Daily Mail article, and then to the producer of Shark Tank, and then actually going on to Shark Tank.
Do you think the Daily Mail thing, because you hear a lot of people with business stories that they can talk about luck, you can talk about creating your own luck, you can talk about, probably did the Daily Mail thing come along because you think you were active and you were being active in marketing.
I was putting myself out there.
You were putting yourself out there, yeah.
Using influencers as well. So I think that's a big one, is leveraging off the audience that influencers have and getting them to use your product and speak about it. I'm sure that's how they found, you know, my page through that.
So it's not luck, is what, you know, basically what I'm saying. You were actually putting yourself out there, to use your words, you know, and that's how, and things happen when you put yourself out there, generally speaking, 100%. You know.
Yeah.
And so the Daily Mail happens, Shark Tank happens off the back of that, the domino effect, as you say. Put yourself out there, Daily Mail, Shark Tank.
One thing leads to another,
yeah. So talk us through the Shark Tank thing, talk us through, you know, the producer's conversation and how you were feeling and all those things.
So, yeah, Shark Tank, again, I had like a little bit of self-doubt there, only because most people who go onto Shark Tank have really established businesses.
Yeah.
And they reached out to me in December. So I'd only really, you know, been doing it seriously for a few months. I was still working part-time as well.
Yeah, cool.
Had only just studied uni, and I thought, you know, you start getting these things in your mind like, oh, is my business big enough, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, no, hang on a minute. There's obviously a reason they've reached out to me, so grab this opportunity. And I almost didn't submit what's it called? The audition tape. Yeah. So I think the submissions were due at like midnight, and it was 1 a.m. because I had been busy packing orders. And I was like, stuff it, I'm just going to film a quick video on my iPhone and submit it. And most people, like when I was speaking to some of the other applicants, they had like professionally filmed videos, and they'd like spent weeks like writing the scripts. And mine was literally just on my iPhone being like, hi, I'm Iris. Here I am packing orders, like really showing the raw side of it all. Yeah. And the next day the producer rung me and said, yeah, we loved your video. Do you want to come and do an audition in Perth? So you actually have to do an audition first. It's like a fake Shark Tank.
Oh, right. And in front of who? Is it just producers?
It's in front of the producers, yeah. So I think they're just doing it to see how would you be on the actual real show.
Yeah.
And then from there, they then called me and said, yeah, we want you to come onto into Sydney and come on the actual show. How was my experience? Very nerve-wracking, especially... Again, it's just, you know, the stories you're telling yourself. But at the time, you know, you're going through, you're in your head so much, like, you know, what do I know? I'm going up against all these people who've been in business for decades and they've got all these investments. But again, I think it was staying true to what my business was and having confidence in my product and where I wanted to take it. That's what led me to being offered a deal on the show, which I did later turn down.
Oh, cool.
But... you know, taking that on the show actually allowed me to be aired, because not everyone gets aired.
Ah, right. Okay. So it's not like every single person that goes on there. So that's great awareness for you, for your brand and everything, you know, and that's that domino effect again. That's starting off by, you know, putting yourself in front of people and actually putting yourself out there, as you 100%. Said, and then all the things that can grow from that. And that organically to a point, you're not, you know, you're not spending advertising dollars to get there, are you? No. And that's, it just shows that you can have, you know, I'm not every single product, not every single person would be that fortunate, but it just shows that it's possible, doesn't it? And it's 100%. And it's feasible and it can happen. And it's really interesting journey to hear about actually. And so what happens then? You do the Shark Tank, you come back to Perth. I'm sure you feel a bit more confident. You've just been on the TV. You're happy.
Have thousands of orders. That's what happened.
Yeah, and then how do you deal with it? You know, how do you overcome that? It's that frenzy thing, is it?
Yeah. So it exploded.
Yeah.
And to be honest, you're just in the moment and you're doing what you can in that moment.
12-hour days and stuff.
Probably more. But you know, it's all really exciting, and you have to keep reminding yourself, well, you know, 6 months ago, this would have been my dream.
Yeah.
And it's just about being grateful. You know, it's like, I often say to the team, sometimes, you know, we might get caught up in, oh, this problem. I'm like, they are great problems to have. Other people would dream about having our problem of being completely sold out of stock. Like, I'd rather that than have the opposite.
Yeah.
So I think it's, about being grateful in the moment and just doing what you can, I suppose, and staying calm.
To adapt and to overcome it and deal
with
it.
Is that what and, you mean? Yeah, and see it from the point of view of, this is a great opportunity for me to learn and upskill, rather than going, oh my God, I can't handle this, and crumbling.
But you're probably the type of person, based on what you're telling me, you probably get excited by the challenges of it anyway, you know?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But if you don't, then I don't think you should be in business, it's not the right to be honest.
Yeah. You can roll up your sleeves and say, right, I'm going to take it on. I'll take on the challenge. I'll deal with it. I'll work the hours and I'll work out as I go and what to do. And,
100%. Focusing on the solutions rather than focusing on the problems.
Yeah. And so you come back to the frenzy. You start getting all the orders. Things are great. The business is kicking off.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, what's your headspace? Are you thinking, right, what, you know, my next opportunity, or how am I going to grow it, or how am I going to sustain it? What's your thought process?
So I was actually in a very interesting point in my life at that point. So yes, there was a side of me that was very grateful for what was happening and enjoyed it. But at the time I was really, really struggling with my mental health.
Right.
So I hadn't, after obviously I left home when I was 17, I kind of just went to uni, worked myself into the ground, all as a distraction to distract myself from dealing with what I had dealt with growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think at the time, because I was so overworked and my nervous system was just through the roof and I was, you know, quite stressed, it all kind of, my mental health just completely crumbled.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, it was a massive wake-up call for me that I really need to go and get some therapy.
Yep.
So that's what I did at the time.
Yeah, well,
so
I appreciate you being honest about it as well. Yeah,
and I did shift myself a little bit. I kind of realised, looking back, I realised I can't actually grow my business anymore until I work on myself.
Yeah.
Because I was the leader in that situation, and I still am. How can I lead and succeed when I can't do that internally within myself? So I did take a few months, even though I was still working and whatnot, but my priorities very much shifted onto how do I develop and grow myself before I develop and grow my business.
Yep.
And once I changed for the better, my business then started to change for the better. So yeah, during that period after Shark Tank, obviously there was lots of growth and innovation, but I was also growing and innovating myself at the same time.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
Which I'm really, really glad I did. You know, I took most of last year to work on that. And I think because of that, it's allowed me to be more resilient and adapt more during a stressful, hard time like 2020, when a lot of business owners would crumble. So very thankful that I did do the work.
And you know, it's fantastic that you're being open about it as well, and because people can learn from that. You know, I think sometimes it's very much what you're saying at the very beginning. You can be scared about what other people think, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, you're not the type of person that really does. And and that allowed you to go and do all those things. It allowed you to seek the help, regardless what anybody might say. It allowed you to start a business, regardless what anyone might say.
Yeah.
And then you come back and you do your everything's going well. You're feeling good as a person. The business is going great.
Mm-hmm.
At what point do you start engaging help? You know, you can't do everything yourself. You come to, in all business, we all come to a point in time where we go, I can't do everything myself.
Of course, yeah.
Can't wear all the hats.
You need to start building your team.
Yeah, so at what point does that happen?
Yeah, so I do have a lot of business owners ask me this, you know, like, who do I hire as my first hire?
Mm.
And I often say, what is something, one, either you don't want to be doing or is not your strength?
Yeah.
Could someone else do that job better than you? Mm. So in my situation, it was the whole pick and pack fulfillment side and then the customer service side, which wasn't really my strength. You know, my strength is the product development and the marketing and the whole tone of the brand. So that was kind of the first thing that I brought team members in and delegated out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a tricky one. And I've learned so much with building a team, because I've always been more of an individual person and I've always preferred to do things on my own. It was something that I actually asked my mum a few months ago. I was like, what's one of the feedback you always used to get from my teachers at school? And she said they would always say you didn't let anyone else do the work in a group situation. You would take over the entire project and do everything yourself.
That's common. That's common amongst entrepreneurs and leaders. And,
yeah.
You know, it's very common.
But you have to realize that that's only going to hinder your growth, because you can only do so much until you burn yourself out. And then it's also taking you away from areas in your business that you could really excel at, you know, for me, like the product and the marketing.
Yeah, but it reduces your capacity as well, because you cannot do everything yourself. So you've only got 8 hours or 12 hours yourself.
Even though you think you might, you can't.
Yeah, and a lot of people I've spoke to in the past have said very similar things.
Yeah.
But it's something that I think as a business owner, I think most people struggle with that. It's one of the pain points in business.
100%.
You know? Finding the right people, matching the opportunity to the person, or like you said, you know, finding out the things that your time's best spent, essentially, as a business owner, or where you want to be yourself, and then finding the people to do the things you don't want to do.
100%.
You
know? And stepping outside sometimes. I think someone made a great quote the other day. They said you can work, there's three ways of working within your business. It's in your business, on your business, and out of your business.
Yep.
And you have to do all three ways in order to be successful. Because if you're constantly in, you know, you're missing the bigger picture and you're not looking at, you know, things from the outside point of view, and equally on the other side. If you are a business owner that struggles to give up some of that control, I always say your need for control is controlling you, and it's only going to get you so far.
Yeah, that's very wise. Yeah. So I mean, and so I think you probably enjoy the innovation of it anyway, don't you? Do you the architecture and the creativity? Do you enjoy that? What do you enjoy? Tell me what you enjoy as part of the business. What's your most enjoyable things?
So I definitely love product design, and I think that is what leads most of the business. Like, that is our strong, you know, unique selling point, is our products are different. They're innovative. There's nothing really like them on the market.
Mm-hmm.
And we do things differently. And I think then the other side that I really enjoy is probably more of the marketing side and the whole why and vision of the brand.
Yep.
Both the brands are very much focused on representing an alternative way of beauty. Yep. So, for example, we don't airbrush any of our images. All of the people that you see in our campaigns are actually real customers. We don't use models. Okay. And we speak about beauty and makeup in a different way. Like a lot of brands speak about it as a mask, you know, covering up who you are,
yep,
hiding who you are. Whereas we talk about, well, actually, these tools are a form of expression. You get to express who you are. Because there was nothing actually wrong with you in the first place. A lot of brands say you need this product because, you know, you've got wrinkles or you've got grey hair.
Trying to sell on the emotional factors.
You're not pretty enough unless you wear this product.
Yeah.
Where we're actually saying, well, actually, you're 100% perfect the way you are. These are just tools for your own personal expression. So I really enjoy both sides. That's, again, me challenging the status quo, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Sorry, not going to buy into that.
Yeah, being a disruptor. You've been a disruptor in the market, you know.
And the same with the actual design of the products. Again, it's disrupting. So, yeah, there's my challenging trait going in.
No, but most of these most companies that are disruptive and people that stick to their values and that go against the status quo, they're successful. And you've obviously done that, you know, and you're very true to your product, as you've mentioned you know, many times. So you bring the business, it's an online business, e-commerce business, you get your team around you and you build, you know, you're building, you go through that business journey of, you know, year on year, the business is growing, it's sustainable, there's maybe competition, you're maybe looking over your shoulder at given points in time, is there new players in the market, how do you deal with that?
Yes, there's always new players, but you have to focus on yourself, not focus on the competition. Yeah. A lot of people say that. You can be very easily distracted by what other people are doing and then you know, lose sight of what actually you're really good at doing. It's something I learned at the start. I actually had someone who was in my friend group completely replicate the quick flick. At the time my patent for the product was still pending, so I couldn't actually take any legal enforcement.
And it was a friend?
Yeah, it was. I wouldn't say it was a direct friend, but it was someone who was in my friend group. And yeah, completely replicated the entire business, got an influencer to act as the face of the brand. And they came out and said, oh, no, we actually created this product, the eyeliner stamp and whatnot. And it did. It ate into me for many months to the point where I lost sight of what I was doing and I was too focused on what they were doing and, you know, anxious about them stealing our customers. But then I realized, you know, you need to focus on what it is that you're doing and realize that no one can actually really replicate 100%, you know, what you're doing. And there's so many aspects. It's not just the product that you're selling. There's so many elements to a business. I just mentioned, you know, the why of the brand or how you speak to your customers or the story you can tell. So, yeah, definitely you can look over your shoulder and be aware, but don't become distracted.
Yeah, it's the thing about the expression somebody said to me once is if you're worrying about what I'm doing, you're not worrying about what you're doing yourself.
Yeah.
Basically, you know.
Brilliantly put.
Yeah. And it's great to see that that's where some businesses fall short. They can get caught up in what other people are doing. They can get up in competitors that come into the market. You've came out of you obviously, you know, it did have a little effect on you, but you've come out of it. You put yourself and you challenge yourself again.
Yeah.
And then you look at innovating and improving your business, don't you?
Yeah.
And then how long after do you grow into the sort of the beauty fridge concept and how does that work?
So obviously I started the quick flick first and I always wanted to do another brand. I'm actually going secretly working on a third brand at the moment.
Good.
I haven't actually told anyone. My team's listening.
It's a big announcement on air.
Scoop. My it's team's scoop. Probably listening to this and going, oh my God, like, give us a break, Iris. Yeah. So that obviously came from identifying a pain point and a gap in the market as well. But that was a nice little test for me to test the framework and all the learnings that I'd learned from the quick flick and apply it into this second business. And it's amazing once you learn these things, how quickly you can actually grow something.
Start something else.
Yeah, start something else, which is what happened with Beauty Fridge and having the connections there from quick flick from a retail point of view. Mm-hmm. You know, it was very easy to get it straight into Priceline. We went into Maya.
Yep.
We just launched into Target, into Farmers. So it's amazing once you build that framework, you can then build on top of it.
Yeah, because you're not sitting creating the website again. You're not sitting trying to find suppliers. You're not doing the first purchase order. You've got an established and you've learned so many lessons. You've 100%. Learned so many things. And they can be replicated, can't they? You know, the lessons that you learn, not necessarily the business model, but the actual lessons that you learn as a business owner and the means to market that you find and the contacts and the network and all that stuff can be replicated over and over again.
100%, yeah.
And you're obviously doing very well with the Beauty Fridge as well. That's going great.
Yeah, so that's done exceptionally well. I think also considering the climate where skincare is booming, people aren't, you know, going out as much. They're not wearing full faces of makeup. And I think you mentioned before off air, a lot of people obviously in their houses more, and they're noticing all the things that they want to change in their houses. One of them being the bathroom. How can I organize my bathroom better? How can I sneak a little bit more of, you know, self-care me time in, because we can't go to beauty salons anymore. So I think Beauty Fridge launched at a really great time where the skincare industry is really booming at the moment. I think that's a little bit of a right place, right time.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely leveraging off that and looking at the trends. I think a lot of businesses are scared of change. And I'm like, change is the only thing that's constant. If you're not changing, then you should be scared, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, looking at, okay, what is the world doing? What's happening with COVID? Rather than seeing this as something that's going to hinder us, how can we use this to actually grow? So jumping on that skincare bandwagon, changing our messaging. And, you know, for us, we've shifted more of our attention onto Beauty Fridge while skincare is booming, rather than using all of our resources on the Quick Flick, which cosmetics is down 50% at the moment. Yeah. So, you know, we'd be kidding ourselves if we keep trying to bring out makeup products when people aren't wearing makeup as much. Yeah. So it's about looking at how can you use this as an opportunity, which is definitely what we've done and what we'll continue to do going into 2021.
Yeah, and identify the new opportunities as well as you go along.
I mean, some businesses have made more money than they've ever made in COVID.
In COVID times, yeah.
Right. And yeah, I just can't stress enough. Change for me is the most exciting thing. It's when you stay stagnant. I always say you're either changing or you're dying. Which one are you going to choose?
Yeah, no, it's 100% right. And if you're and making the change is important.
Yeah.
Making the change is the hard thing, isn't it? It's actually just making the conscious change to go and do something.
Because you know, it feels a lot better when you're comfortable. Mm. But, you know, growth doesn't happen when you're comfortable.
No.
So, yeah.
And look, Iris, you're a busy lady. So, you know, you've got two phones.
Yeah, I do.
You're a busy lady. You've got two phones. And at your level, and, you know, at all business levels, business owners, but certainly at your level, yes, you have to have a good team around you. And yes, you have to have good leaders and delegate things, as we mentioned. But how do you manage your time? And how, you know, do you find it difficult to manage your time? And there's two questions. Do you find it difficult to manage your time? Mm-hmm. And how do you manage your stress levels?
Okay, so I would say managing time, the strongest thing that I've implemented is putting in boundaries, being boundaries with yourself and boundaries with other people. And really, I think probably for myself is just blocking out time slots in my calendar where I'm going to sit down for half an hour at this point and have a meeting with that person or research that product idea or whatever it is, so that you're not caught up in doing a million different things at once. Definitely time blocking. Turning off your notifications has been a big one for me, because technology can be so distracting. Not just notifications from social media platforms, but, you know, from in our group channel, for example, you know, team members can message you something and it's very tempting to sometimes just quickly answer
that.
But then you're distracting yourself from the task that you're doing. So giving that task respect and actually giving it your time and giving it your full concentration for that 20, 30 minutes, whatever. Becoming really strict with where is your time going. And
were you always that way?
No.
Okay.
That's so something I've learned.
You've learned that. Yeah.
No, I've not always been that way. I also like to do like a time inventory check every 4 to 6 weeks and spend like a full week. I'll write down and time track every single task that I do and identify, actually, I don't really need to be doing that. That could be automated. That could go for someone else. That's not a valuable use of your time. And I always say that to my team. Go back to your job description and remind yourself what it is that you were hired to do. It's very easy to pick up other things that then pull you away from what you're really supposed to be doing. What was the other question?
Stress.
How do I manage?
You don't seem very stressed anyway. Business is stressful.
I used to be completely different. So if you met me a year and a half ago, I was highly stressed. Probably if I went to a conventional doctor, they would have diagnosed me with post-traumatic stress disorder.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So I've obviously going to, you know, getting therapy for what I experienced growing up has helped me immensely. And I've probably taken more of that like spiritual side of it.
Yep.
So I'm really big on meditation, doing that every single day, really calming your mind, grounding yourself, setting clear intentions of what it is you want to get out of your day, I'm also big on journaling because it's very easy to be caught up in the rat race and feel like the, you know, the mouse on the wheel, and you're not actually taking yourself out of the situation and saying, what is it that I'm trying to achieve? So journaling's a big one for me. Gratitude as well. And not just thinking, but actually feeling that sense of gratitude, because it is very easy to be overwhelmed with all these problems. And it's like, well, actually, I'm really grateful that I have, you know, an office to go to every day. I'm really grateful that I have a roof above my head, and just reminding yourself about those little things. And also, it's something I'm still working on, but actually taking time off, switching off. You know, I used to work weekends. Now I try not to, unless it's really, really urgent. But taking that time out to not think about work and clear your head, because that's sometimes where all your brilliant creative ideas come from, when you're not trying to think of creative ideas.
No, you're not bogged down in all the distractions and all the trappings of work and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And probably the last point would just be about, it probably sounds a bit woo-woo, but just protecting your own energy, because I find at some points it's very easy to be sucked into a negative way of thinking, or you go out and you meet all these different people, and then you kind of come back and you feel like, you know, you've been sucked of all your energy, and you're like, oh, I feel exhausted, especially when you're speaking and meeting with so many people. I think really protecting and holding your own energy and realizing no one can make you feel a certain way, you're in control of your emotions. That's an
interesting one. Yeah, yeah. My wife and my have a good friend of mine does breath work.
Oh yeah,
and
love breath work.
Talks about vibrational and energy and being around the right vibrational energy and what you put out. And so it's really it's really good. It's not woo woo. I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, yeah. Some people think it's woo woo. The other thing also I would add is I cut out so many people in my life. I literally got rid of my entire friend group.
Yeah, wow.
Because they were all holding me back in a certain way, because they had a certain mindset and their energy and their frequency and stuff. And they say, you know, you are the product of the five people you are surrounded by. Well, actually, you're not just the product of the five people. You're also the product of the five people that one person of the five people hangs out with.
Yes, that's right.
There was a study. There was a study that said if you're friends with someone who smokes, you're 60% more likely to smoke yourself. And if you're friends with someone who has a friend that smokes, you're 30% more likely to smoke. So it's not just the person that you're friends with, it's their friends that influence you.
So put yourself amongst the people you want to be around, and put yourself amongst the people that are a good influence on you. Iris, look, we're running out of time, but if anybody wanted to find you, I'm sure it's very easy to find the businesses, but how, they jump on Google and search the names, or?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram. So my Instagram handle is Iris Jade. So Iris and then J-A-D-E. Otherwise, if you want a little bit of a laugh, you can follow me on TikTok as well. My TikTok handle is Iris Jade Smith.
Cool, no worries. And look, Iris, I hope you get some time off. As you said, you're a busy lady, but I hope you get some time off. I'm really appreciative that you've come in today and shared some insight and some really good value for business owners out there about your story. And thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
For joining me on this episode of the Business Growth Podcast. If you enjoyed it and you want to come back for more, don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever it is you get your podcasts. You can catch up with me on social media on Facebook at Make My Business Better, Instagram at Business Growth AU, or you can jump on our website www.businessgrowthperth.com.au. See you next time.